Here, I see that Lil's not with you this morning. We need to add her to the prayer concerns. Okay. All right. Well, I just know she wasn't in the choir and didn't come down and sit with you. So, yeah, we'll be praying for Lil as well. Well, this morning is our second part of our series on the foreshadowing sacrifice of Christ. This will complete the section here in Genesis chapter 22. Be reading verses 7 through 18. So if you will follow along with me, this is Abraham and Isaac. He was going to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, but the Lord provided another sacrifice, a lamb. So, which leads us into the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how the two are tied together for the prophecy to the Old Testament to the New. Beginning with verse 7 of Genesis chapter 22. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And Abraham said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against your son, and do not do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then the Lord raised his eyes. Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all nations of the world shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." What an amazing passage of Scripture. Gives us the foresight of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Isaac being the only son, my only son. And he said, "My father." Interesting that Abraham would say, "Here am I." Said that to his son. He said that to the Lord. So this morning, as we continue to study the lamb being led as a sheep to the slaughter, with Genesis 22 being our main text, and I would call it a hidden allegory, will bring to light that foreshadowing of Jesus being led to the cross, to the ultimate sacrifice. The Lord began his work of salvation as soon as Adam and Eve committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden. And he provided a way out there in Genesis right after that. If you would like to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God provided salvation right there in that one verse. Now, let's take a look at God will provide a lamb in verse 7 and 8. And in verse 7 and 8 here, we observe the conversation between a father and a son, one revealing a relationship of great, what I would call great trust and affection. Abraham loved his son. Isaac loved his father, Abraham. And so there was a great trust there. There was what I would call great affection, as any son or father would have with each other. Because God was in the midst of everything that was taking place. God was providing. Abraham was, he had faith that God would provide. He even told his son, God will provide. And he said, my father. He used those words to address his father respectively. And that's what we do today, how we address our parents, our father or mother, we do it with respect. And that's what he did when he said, use the words, my father. And at this trying moment, these words could have melted, and I'm sure it did, Abraham's heart, and persuaded him not, and probably would persuade Abraham not to sacrifice his son Isaac. But Abraham replied in a calm and assuring words when he said, my son. With calm and reassuring, because Abraham, he did trust in the Lord. He believed that God would provide another sacrifice. God, too, has tender affection for his only begotten son. For in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, Hebrews shines a lot of light on the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And the author penned these words, as we see, the Lord declared of him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, God could have been persuaded not to sacrifice his own son as well, just like Abraham. But we see in Matthew 26:53, where it says, do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels to rescue me? That's Jesus speaking there. But in Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 54, Jesus continued to say, if he wasn't crucified, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen? Yes, Jesus could have called legions of angels. He could have called on the Father. But he chose joyfully to go to the cross. And he wanted, as Matthew 26:54 said, the scriptures would be fulfilled. It was fulfilled from the Old Testament to the New, in the New Testament where we have seen this. And how then could salvation of mankind be accomplished if Christ hadn't come to the world, to the earth, to die for our sins? Now, in verse 7, we see a big question right here. I don't know if you looked at it or read this, and I'm sure you have, but Isaac says, look at the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham didn't have the heart to tell his son Isaac that he was the offering. He just replied, God will provide for himself the lamb. And then now going back to John chapter 1, verse 29, I like to interact these Old Testament with the New, because it is a fulfilled prophecy and it gives us heads up on exactly what was prophesied in the Old and what's taking place in the New. And John 1:29 reveals that the Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. And then we read this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Such an amazing way of God constructed and supplied all the things that we need to know about his son. And then all the fulfilled prophecy leading up to this and symbolizes from the old to the new of how this preparation would take place. And even used John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, to teach and to preach and share that the Lamb of God was coming. And then here he said, behold, there's the one I've been telling you about. He is here, and he will take away the sins of the world. And what Abraham spoke concerning the Lamb fulfilled prophecy, identifying the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to the earth. Now, that's why I use the title here, God Will Provide a Lamb, in verse 7 and 8. Now, let's move on to the last few verses. A substitute was discovered, was provided, and that's in verses 9 through 14. In verse 9, we see that Abraham bound his only son. And why would Abraham have needed to bind his son to the altar? Maybe if you've thought about that question, or as you read this, we already have seen Isaac. He trusted his father. He believed in his father. He trusted him with all of his heart. And I think the answer right here is in the scriptures, is that the action of binding him was symbolic of Christ being nailed or bound to the cross. It's a symbolic of Christ, of what Abraham did to his son Isaac, that Christ was bound to the cross when he died. And then we read in verse 11 through 14 that just as Abraham raised a knife and was getting ready to plunge it into Isaac's heart, the angel of the Lord stepped in and stopped Abraham from taking Isaac's life. It was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. And Abraham then looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket, and he took it and offered it in Isaac's place. Now, earlier in verse 8 said that God will provide a lamb. And the Lord did, indeed, he provided a lamb. He did it for Abraham, and he did it for us. He provided a substitute sacrifice. And then Christ became the sacrifice for you and me. And later on, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed in the place of all mankind, similar to the account portrayed right here in Genesis 22. You see the parallel there? The teaching of God's Word as you study it from the Old to the New Testament. So it is filled with the prophecy being fulfilled, even the prophecies today that maybe we just take for granted, but as we see prophecy being fulfilled today, and when Christ comes back again with all the happenings in the world, and the world itself just thinks it's things that happen. But we know, according to God's Word, all of these things in the world will be taking place before Christ comes again. So in verse 14, Abraham, he named the place of this near sacrifice Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, that's what that means. The Lord will provide. The Lord truly did provide a way for Abraham when he was ready to take the life of his only son. See, God intervenes always at the right time. Amen? And he has in your life, in my life. And important decisions we've ever made, or it won't be something like this, but anything important to us is important to God, that we take it to him, knowing that he'll provide. He provides for us in our life, providing us a way of transportation, a home, a provision, our food, everything that we have, God provides that in our lives. Provides our relationships, our families, anything that you can dream or think up in your mind, think about it. Where did you get it? Who provided it? God provides it. And see, we can have that kind of trust today, no matter what comes our way. So there is a Lamb for us who takes our place when we are condemned to death. Christ took our place. And this one who took our place is the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Christ paid that debt. Wages of sin is high. You think about all the sins in the world that are being committed, and that's why they call it the wages of sin. Everything that we do or think about, it's the wages of sin. And then God provided a way. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our way. God provided that for us. And then the Apostle Peter tells us that we were condemned because of our sins. And when you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, Peter says, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. A lamb without blemish and without spot. See, Peter had time to think about all of the things that Jesus had taught him and the disciples, that he was going to go to the cross and die for our sins. And then after all this has taken place and all the fulfillment of what Jesus did on the cross, and after Jesus ascended back into heaven, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to Peter and all the disciples of the things that are coming and the things that we need to hear. And then here Peter said, with precious blood of Christ. He didn't get it right then when it was happening, but after he saw Jesus ascend back to heaven, and had time to think about it, and the Holy Spirit coming and teaching them all things that Jesus had taught them, Peter realized, oh, this was real. And the precious blood of Jesus, the Jesus that walked with us and talked with us and ate with us and broke bread with us, it was his precious blood that was shed. And it was without blemish and without spot. Then he indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world. Even Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Before the beginnings of the foundations of the world, God chose us. And then verse 7, Jesus justified us by the shedding of his blood. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, then we're all sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21, 1 Peter, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. See how it all ties together? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, that is so amazing to think of God's plan, how it all comes together. And now moving on to a blessing unto all people. That includes you and me in verse 15 through 18. We are told of a great blessing that God promised Abraham, and it is still true today. It's still happening today. We're all blessed through Abraham. Obedience. We are blessed because of Christ's obedience. Abraham was obedient, offered his son, but God provided a way, and he was blessed because of that. And Jesus was blessed, and we are blessed by the Father because he did take our place on Calvary. Yeah, because of Abraham was faithful and tempting to carry out God's request, he was to be given a great nation through his offspring. And that took place through all of God's and Jesus' offsprings that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, the 14 generations right there. And verse 18 tells us that Abraham's seed would bless all nations. And all nations don't always see that blessing. The ones that don't truly believe in the Son of God, even those nations that are running for God are terrorists and all other things that other nations are doing in disregard of God's word and Jesus Christ being here, is still a blessing. To the blessing of eternal life given to all people by one of Abraham's descendants, Jesus Christ. See, the all the world is being blessed, and some of them are not even recognizing it. But as we come to conclusion this morning, just as the Lord provided a lamb to take the place of Isaac, he provided a lamb to take the place of all mankind. For people who are destined to die for their sins. So in order for you and me, think about this, to be spared from spiritual death, we must do as Abraham did. Reach out and take the lamb. And that lamb is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Jesus Christ in verse 13. And then 1 John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was manifest towards us, you and me, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." All the Gospels reveal Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So Christ freely offered himself in our place that we might have eternal life through him. So that's something for you and I to think about this morning. In all the years that you've been coming to church, serving the Lord, you know, we still have to have that personal relationship. It's not about membership. It's not about everything being good and all the stuff that we do in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, you know, many people will say, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out demons? Have I not prophesied and done all these miraculous things for you? And the Lord said, if I don't know you personally, then I never knew you. So we have to have that personal relationship with him, recognizing that the sins that we committed are the wages of sin, but God provided that only sacrifice, once and for only, the Bible says, no more will anyone, Christ, will have to pay that price again. He came and did it once and for all. What a great sacrifice Christ paid. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this message. We thank you that we're able to see how you prophesied all of the things that's going to be taking place from the old, and then it was revealed in the new. And we have experienced that. And many of us, and hopefully all of us here today, have experienced the revealing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to accept you as our personal Savior. If there's anyone here today that has not done that, the invitation is open and freely given to each and every one of us, and those listening live as well that doesn't know you can receive Jesus Christ into their heart and life today. What a wonderful gift you have given us, and what a wonderful gift that we can receive that do not know you personally, to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed. You sacrificed on the cross, and he freely gave up his life joyfully. Not because he thought it was going to be something that he just needed to do, but he wanted to be obedient to the Father in all his life. That's why you, the Father, said, this is my beloved Son who has obeyed me in all things, and I'm well pleased. What a wonderful thing that can be said to us about a Son, the only begotten Son. Lord, I pray this morning for each and every one here, and I pray that whatever decisions are made, Lord, you reveal it by your Holy Spirit, and it is clear. And this, be able to discern what needs to be done in stepping out and accepting you as our personal Savior. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.